hundreds of Iranian and other Middle Eastern citizens were detained in Southern California jails Wednesday after coming forward to comply with a new rule to register with immigration authorities, only to wind up handcuffed and behind bars. This report comes from Reuters. It reads, shocked and frustrated Islamic and immigrant communities estimate that more than 500 people had been arrested in Los Angeles and neighboring Orange County and San Diego in the past 3 days under new nationwide anti-terrorism program in the United States. Some confirmed reports put the figure as high as 1,000. The arrest sparked a demonstration by hundreds of Iranians outside of Los Angeles immigration offices. The protesters carried banners saying, "What's next? Concentration camps?" A spokesperson for the Immigration and Naturalization Service said no numbers of people arrested would be made public. A Justice Department spokesperson could not be reached for comment. One activist said local jails were so overcrowded that immigrants could be sent to Arizona where they could face weeks or months in prison awaiting hearings before immigration judges or deportation. The arrest were part of a September the 11th, 2001 program that requires all males over 16 from a list of 20 Arab or Middle Eastern countries who do not have permanent resident status in the United States to register with U.S. immigration authorities. We're going to be speaking tonight with Sabia on the latest on this situation. Sabia, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for being having me here.
Could you tell us what the latest is on this situation, but could you also introduce the Council on American Islamic Relations?
Sure. I'm with the Council on American Islamic Relations, and we're the largest national grassroots Islamic advocacy organization. And we also have a lot of work in terms of civil rights. And right now what has happened is that according to INS, the majority of people have been released. There are still a few people in which they still do not want to release their names, but we know this thanks to lawyers who are reporting to us. And CARE, along with a few other organizations, have filed a class action lawsuit here in Los Angeles to stop the detentions and stop any deportation that might happen. To base what INS is doing right now based on our current laws of due process.
Well, Sarah's also joined us on the line. Sarah, could you give us the context of this law that Sabiha has mentioned, that also all of these detentions have happened under? Give us the details, but also provide us the context, and maybe you could introduce the Muslim Public Affairs Council as well.
Sure. Well, I'm the communications director of the Muslim Public Affairs Council, which is in Los Angeles and Washington. We've been doing a lot of work on Capitol Hill and with testimony about different issues concerning the community. And as far as this INS, I mean, what's basically happened is that this is a policy that's come down straight from the Attorney General Ashcroft's office to the INS in the post-September 11th decree, which we are arguing is a use and abuse of the Patriot Act to expand the amount of time that you can keep hold anybody without any right to an attorney or any way of seeking recourse. It used to be 48 hours. It's now been the Patriot Act added 10 days to that, so you have 12 days where the government can now detain individuals that have no access at all to even a phone call under the Patriot Act. And what we're trying to argue at MPAC is that in order to get behind the disaster that happened in Los Angeles with this first round of questioning, we need to understand, you know, how it is that the Patriot Act, which is by nature very, very vague, can be abused in such a way. And it's leading us to the conclusion, along with groups like the ACLU, which is the American Civil Liberties Union, that the Patriot Act is behind this problem. It needs to be repealed, and that we called for the immediate suspension of these INS roundups.
Do you think that's likely to happen, the repeal of the Patriot Act? We have similar acts that have passed here in Canada since September the 11th. Again, this so-called anti-terrorist legislation that's sweeping across Fortress North America, and that came through the legislature not with much debate after about 6 months, and this rapid change goes through affecting civil liberties just in general.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like an extremely similar situation. I mean, I think that our group, along with other groups that are calling for the repeal of the Patriot Act, it's being used as a benchmark, a kind of a kind of end goal. It's sort of reminiscent of repeal the House on American Committee during the communist era. It's a kind of goal that we are looking toward in the future, because after September 11th, the speed with which so many of our basic rights have been challenged and repealed by Congress that just passed this without even reading the entire Patriot Act is going to really set us back decades. And so we think that, you know, if history is a guide, when we did similar things, when we relaxed FBI guidelines and other spying guidelines in the past during the communist era, it took us decades to reclaim our rights. We had the church commissions here, in which we had a Senate hearing that exposed the abuses that the government made on everyday citizens here. It ruined a lot of lives, and we think that, unfortunately, if we keep going down this road of repealing so many of our Bill of Rights, I mean, repealing basically fundamental principles of the Bill of Rights, you know, then we're gonna have to engage in another, maybe even decades-long process of trying to reclaim that. And so I think in the end, you know, the Patriot Act is going to have to go.
And the influence on immigration from these anti-terrorist legislations is clear when incidents like this happen, when there's mass roundups. I want to go back to Sabiha and ask you what the response has been of immigration. Have they said anything about this drawing a distinction between the Patriot Act and immigration policy? Have they offered any kind of resolution to prevent what happened last week from happening again? We're speaking on the detention of hundreds, if not thousands, of individuals from Muslim and Arab communities, mainly the Iranian community outside and around Los Angeles, being targeted again just last week in Southern California.
Yeah, the Iranian community was the majority of people who were detained, though there were quite a number of people from the other countries, Iraq, Libya, Sudan, Syria. And just like you said, we have been asking the INS to reform the way they were doing this, because obviously there's something wrong when close to 1,000 people are detained. There's something broken in the system, and we need to take a closer look at to make sure that innocent lives aren't jeopardized, because unfortunately what happened was a lot of these people are, you know, law-abiding people who have families here. They have, the father might be a visa holder, but their wife and children are citizens. I know of cases where the 16-year-old son was a visa holder, or according to INS, not in status, but his mother is a citizen. And so what the effect, I mean, the human effect is that whole families are going to be ripped apart if we don't do something about it. And chances are we won't have terrorists who are going to go in and turn themselves in and let the INS know where they live. So, and what also happened, there was a big problem, is that a lot of the people who were out of status at one time had applied to something called 245I under the immigration law in the United States, where you can pay a fine and become up to status. But for some reason, INS disregarded their own rule and detained people in a manner that they should not have been detained, treated them like criminals. These are future citizens of the United States. We can't do that.
Yeah. And then just to add to that, these people, you know, very, very innocent people are now going to have an arrest on the record, you know, and it's like Sabiha said, it's completely, this is just affecting human lives on a very deep level here, that you've had, you know, the news reports here in Southern California are talking about this first round targeted Iranians in particular. A lot of Iranians came to the United States at the time of the revolution, you know, escaping from what they saw as oppression from that situation. Now they come here, and you're reading reports all over the place of, you know, we feel like we're back in Iran. We can't believe we were treated this way. We can't believe this is the United States, etc. And the thing that's the most scary about it is that the INS is planning on expanding this particular type of questioning to all citizens starting in 2005. So it's not just going to be, you know, Muslim countries anymore. Pretty soon this is going to be everyone. I don't see how that's too much different than a police state.
Has that message, though, gotten out in the media? One of the problems that we've faced in Canada is that when Canadian citizens are detained by U.S. authorities under these anti-terror legislations, or, for example, in the xenophobic backlash after September the 11th, we had Shakir Bullock, who is a Canadian citizen, who was detained in a maximum security prison for several months with Canadian authorities not doing anything, with the Canadian media not paying attention. Is the media paying attention in that case, or in this case in Los Angeles? And are they talking about what's going to happen in 2005?
Unfortunately, in the beginning, there was hardly any media coverage of what was happening. In fact, we had to go out and tell the media that, look, there's something major happening. There are going to be hundreds of people disappearing from our communities. You need to cover this. Mm-hmm. And luckily, I mean, our major newspaper started covering it. It started getting picked up by international media, Al Jazeera, BBC, CNN, to get the word out that you know, there's a big travesty happening in the community. And because of that media pressure, I mean, we oftentimes blame media for a lot of the things that happen, but because of that media pressure, INS had to report back to the American government. They could not, to the American people, they could not no longer hide behind, oh, we are officials, we can't let you know. They had to reply, why were there innocent people being detained without able to see their families indefinitely? They had to report, and because of that pressure, a lot of people got freed. And obviously, you know, it did not ring with the American public that people who don't deserve to be criminals are being treated like criminals.
So where is this going? Sarah, maybe we could begin with you. How is the Muslim Public Affairs Council planning to respond to this? Because it does seem like this is something that's not going to go away, that other communities will be targeted.
Yeah, I think the key, like your question earlier, just to answer it, is that the fact that this policy is going to expand to all Americans by 2005 has basically been ignored by the media. I really doubt the average American understands that this is going to apply to all visa holders by the end of 2005. And you know, and you never know. Once you go down that slippery slope, you know, it could be naturalized citizens next. It could be citizens next. So that's of course always a danger. So given that, you know, when we look toward the future, what we're thinking here at MPAC is basically, like, number one, it's extremely important to strengthen already existing coalitions we have with groups who have faced this type of problem in the past. Like I mentioned before, during the communist era, you had the House on American Activities Commission that targeted people based on their views or supposed leftist or communist ties. You know, we are hooking up more with other groups who have historically been targeted for their race and ethnicities, the Latino community here, the African-American community here. And what we need to do is raise awareness again about how this is going to affect all Americans. And what we're doing on the policy level is to constantly ask for Congress to take a look at the Patriot Act, to have hearings on the Patriot Act, to see what it is, to keep in the federal dialogue or the kind of national consciousness what it is that this Patriot Act is doing to the average citizen. Because I think at this point, the average citizen still does not understand that every month since this Patriot Act has been passed, the amount of spying on, you know, emails and wiretapping has doubled every month since it's been passed. These are the types of real concrete things that affect every single American. Unfortunately, you know, since September 11th, it's been hard to make a case. It's hard to look at the average American after September 11th when the country's been attacked, you know, by these people, and say that, you know, you need to be protecting the rights of all citizens, whether or not they're from foreign countries, from foreign Muslim countries or not. That principle, of course, is sound, and we all believe that, but there's a large amount of Americans who are so scared that they believe it's got to be security first no matter what. And I would argue that that's xenophobic and irrational, but that's not the way a lot of people see it. So I think that our chances of success in the future hinge upon being able to really educate people about how this is going to affect every single one of us.
Well, Sabia Khan, spokesperson with the Council on American Islamic Relations, what advice would you give to Arab and Muslim communities outside of the United States who may or may not have heard about these detentions happening around Los Angeles?
They obviously, I know for a fact that the Muslim world is looking at us and looking at how we treat our own people who are from Middle Eastern Islamic countries, and we're always talking about how we need to show the rest of the world how America is inclusive, and you know, this doesn't bode well for our own image and for our own sake. We're champion of human rights, so we have to make sure that what we do is in that same manner. And so what we do want to do for in the immediate future, because in effect, you know, people's lives have been destroyed. CARE has set up funds. One fund is for family who've been affected. A lot of them have fathers or husbands in jail, and who are the actual breadwinners, and no longer there's any money coming into the family. So we've set up a fund, and I can give a phone number for anybody who's interested in contributing out, if that's okay.
Sure, give it slowly.
It's 71. It's in California. 714-776-1847. And also, we have set up legal help. So, if you need legal advice, you need an attorney representing you when you go in to register, they can call our office also, and we can refer you to the correct help. We're also asking people who are just ordinary citizens to contact the Department of Justice and the White House to let them know that what's going on isn't acceptable. It's not what America is all about. You can log on to www.care-net.org and send a letter from there. We've already set up a whole system for people who would like to do that. And like Sarah said, the coalition is so important because yes, Muslims are the new kids on the block in terms of fighting for America's civil rights and civil liberties, but it's really important to make sure that we work in concert with those who have undergone such measures in their own communities. And we have established a coalition of over 20 interfaith and civil liberties organizations, and to remember that this is not, you know, right now today it is about Muslims and Middle Eastern descent, but if you let that happen to one group, eventually it will become it'll spread to happen to all of citizens and affect everybody.
Sabia Khan, thank you very much. Sarah, any last words?
Just to echo that and to say that, you know, I know that your listeners are in Canada, but of course our two countries are influenced by the other, and just to even ask Canadian citizens to watch out and make sure that these types of things don't start to snowball also over in Canada, and to help support us over here and the Muslim community and the rest of the country that's going to be affected by this. And I thank you very much for the interview.
Sarah, Sabia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.